This episode of Game On is brought to you by Ford, featuring all-electric and hybrid electric technologies. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
It's Sunday, January 15th, and I used to make two-month-old video game references, but then I took an arrow in the knee. Steph Trippin' Boo, Leo Laporte's gonna work out all that tension with his review of Infinity Blade 2. Think your favorite MMO's the only one in the universe? No, there's another. Brian says Star Wars The Old Republic is fast enough for you, old man. Veronica talks to God of War David Jaffe and twists his metal to your delight. Sorry, Mario, your princess is in another castle. You might as well watch Game On.
Welcome to Game On. I am Brian Brushwood.
And I'm Veronica Belmont, and this is the best damn video game show ever. And if you don't believe me, maybe you'll believe my fist.
I like the way you start off by physically threatening the audience. Well, what could go wrong after this?
You gotta tell them somehow.
No idea how unbelievably we are excited about the show. Make sure to contact us. You can hit us up on Twitter at @TwitGameOn. Drop us an email at GameOn@twit.tv. And of course, TwitGameOn@reddit.com.
Yes, and since you were too busy explaining to your mom what SOPA is, we've got all this week's news for you in the system update.
From intros to consoles. Did you bet your friend that Sony would announce a PS4 at E3 this year? Then prepare to pay up. The powers that be say there is no PS4 announcement on the horizon, and that PS3 is just entering the prime of a 10-year life cycle. Of course, they could be lying to preserve a surprise, but probably not. So seriously, pay up.
From PlayStation to Steam Celebration. Online PC game distributor Steam announced that for the 7th year in a row, sales grew 100%. And more good news, during their holiday sale, they counted 5 million simultaneous users. In perspective, that's more than 13 times the amount of people who voted in the Iowa caucus and New Hampshire primary.
From champagne toasts to suicide notes. While online game sales thrived, physical sales for games fell a massive 21%. What's more depressing for brick-and-mortar retail establishments? The numbers could have been way worse if a number of high-profile games, including Skyrim, Call of Duty, and Zelda Skyward Sword, hadn't been released.
From wrist-slashing sales to pig-egg shells. That doesn't even rhyme. Minecraft released an update this week. Among the new features in 1.1 are eggs that can be hatched into various animals, including pigs. Also added to the game, apples and regenerating sheep, of course.
And finally, we move from updates by Mojang to a steam-powered batarang. Concept art leaked this week of a canceled Batman game, Gotham by Gaslight. The game would have followed a steampunk-era Bruce Wayne hot on the trail of Jack the Ripper. The menus appeared on the site of graphic artist Julie Farrell, who said she created the geared-up Batman logo from scratch using various real-working machinery.
All right, so seriously, on a scale of 1 to brain explosion, how rad would a freaking steampunk Batman be?
Can you imagine all the Dragon Con costumes?
Dude, they're already out there. They probably got the idea from Dragon Con.
Oh,
Dragon Con is the magical land of steampunk everything.
You guys have to get on that, like, right now.
Now, here's the weird part. I've always been a Marvel guy, and I still harbor this weird prejudice against DC. And I admit, it's just my generation. It's the way I was raised.
Whatever.
And so as a result, I haven't bought any of the Batman games. But I'm telling you, steampunk Batman, I would so totally be there for that.
Yeah, I would love to see that costume. Imagine all the gadgets steampunkified.
Well, that's just it. It's like, I think that's the best part, is that it would add a novel visual element. Plus, also, it's like, you know, you got your Sherlock Holmes and this weird...
My favorite.
That's a cool era as well to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to move on? You know the old saying, if at first you don't succeed, seriously, stop being such a miserable failure and make a better game. These are the top 5 sequels that were better than their predecessors!
All right, gang, this time we're talking about sequels that are better than the original.
Uncharted 2. The graphics took a quantum leap, the engine benefited from a snappy overhaul, and the story went from above average to legendary. Seriously, I'm going to tell my senile parents about the plot of Uncharted 2 when they ask what happened on family vacations. In fact, I'm going to record myself talking about the plot to Uncharted 2 and then play it for myself when I'm senile so I feel better about my life. Sad. Assassin's Creed 2. Assassin's Creed 1 should have been called Silly Boys Flag Collection Academy. There are ant burps that last longer than it takes to complete 100% of that game. Meanwhile, the sequel adds character interaction, money to the game, giving it a rich dimension sorely lacking from its flat, boring predecessor. Birthday cards, Little League baseball betting, and Assassin's Creed. When has adding money ever made anything bad? Mass Effect 2, another game, took a big story jump, but let's just focus on the sage removal of the rover from the Mass Effect franchise. Soupy controls and slow-motion gameplay doomed this vehicle component from the start. If anyone on Earth ever had to play another idiotic level where each control push moves you like an obese bug flopping around a finger bowl of motor oil, it will be too soon. Street Fighter 2. So you finish a level on Street Fighter 1. You're basking in your glory. When what do you see? Seriously? I just handled you sideways face. Now, bleeding and broken with terrible audio quality, you want to remind me in a thick accent of my relative place amongst all of humanity? I'm a beautiful and unique snowflake, forged of terror and fear who just bent you to my will. I'm an iconoclast of bane. Anyone who tells you the first one's better, probably a terrorist whose Americanized training failed to completely mask him in our culture. Kill this man. Kill him immediately. Half-Life 2. You want the perfect example of the difference between Half-Life and Half-Life 2? His name's Barney. Because in Half-Life, that's all he is. Barney. Just a one-named moron tweedling around as a generic security guard at Black Mesa. In 2, he's a man. A real man with a last name and a gun. A key resistance leader. The kind of handsome rogue women swoon over and then idolize. He's Barney Calhoun. And he wants to talk to you about that beer he owes you.
All right, so what do you think, Veronica? You got any more? Did we miss any?
Basically, every video game sequel is better than the original. Because they have better technology, they know where they're going with it, they have better voice acting. It's kind of a trend. It's unlike movies.
I mean, that's
where sequels always are terrible.
That is true, that in general, and you usually
almost
see that biggest jump from the first game to the second game, but then they always seem to fall off. Remember, like, you had Fallout 1, Fallout 2, and then you had Fallout Tactics, Brotherhood of Steel, and it sort of
Wait,
lost its way.
Are you saying Fallout New Vegas Old World Blues was terrible? Because you shouldn't say that to me.
Oh, I didn't say that. I was talking about the early Fallouts.
Okay,
that's totally different. Look, here's the thing. We want to hear from you guys. So why don't you start tweeting us your suggestions for things that we missed? Head on over to Twitter and send us a tweet at TwitGameOn. And we are going to read your tweets, your suggestions at the end of the show. But for now, let's move on to the score and talk about Star Wars, The Old Republic. All right, so seriously, how long have we been talking about Star Wars The Old Republic, and how excited were you going into it, and how much do you like it now that it's actually out?
I do love it. I'm still only, like, level 14, but I'm having a blast with it.
Now, when you first, one of the things we heard about from BioWare, they've been talking for the longest time about the fourth pillar of MMO gaming, saying it was going to transform everything. I know that you were really huge into World of Warcraft, and the addition of voice acting should theoretically make all the stories more compelling. Are you feeling that bear out?
You know, I'm having a really good time listening to some of the stories, but I feel like there's almost too much talking. Like, I find myself spacebarring through conversations more than I expected myself to.
I can't believe you!
I know. Maybe that makes me a bad person, or maybe it just makes me, you know, want to move on with the story and get to the next part and see what there is to see.
Well, here's what I noticed. Most games, you sit through the cinematics so you can finally get back to the killing. Mass Effect 2 was the first game that I just wanted to get through the killing so I could get back to the story. The good news is, I would have been skeptical half year ago that an MMO could pull off the same kind of thing, but I really think they've nailed it. I'm interested in my story. I know who my character is in a way that I've never experienced in an MMO before.
For me, the main storyline is the best part. I'm playing as a bounty hunter, and so I really love her storyline. But I'm finding myself, like I mentioned, speeding through the side quests and the other things that aren't central to my character's development. So maybe that's the difference.
Well, now, and I think there's a difference between refusing to take a bunch of side quests because you want to stick to the main story.
I don't refuse them. I just ignore the talking in them.
Talking is the best part. That's the actual exploration. That's when you see your character development and you have to make those tough decisions. That's one thing BioWare is always excellent at, is giving you the these agonizing decisions where there's you want to do the one thing, but you feel honor-bound to do the other. All right, so what about, now, have you gotten into the ship missions? Have you gotten a spaceship yet?
No.
What?
No. Am I supposed to at level 14?
I don't know. I think it was around, I think it's like losing your virginity. It's like it should happen somewhere around a certain
somewhere
level.
Around 14?
Maybe not.
Damn,
14.
Brian.
Maybe not 14. But the important thing is I was skeptical of the fact that there would be an arcade-like quality to the ship missions. But I got to tell you, I love them. It's a welcome break. It's like taking a moment to play Rebel Assault, only instead of going for points, you get XP at the end of it. And it's like a bonus. You can repeat certain missions once a day, and again, I think another very welcome entry to the MMO universe.
I've been enjoying the flashpoints.
Oh, yeah. Those so how many fun. Of those have you done
just,
so far?
Just the one. Okay. The very first one.
Now, I guess we should say for people who aren't familiar with it, the flashpoints, the idea is there are scripted events that you go mm-hmm. through as a single player, or you can group with them, but the flashpoints are unique sort of epic scenarios that require
well,
multiple people.
It's kind of like an instance, right?
Yes. There are instances. See, you and I are speaking different languages.
I know, that's the problem. Because we're not communicating very
I originally,
well here.
I'm a native City of Heroes guy. You're a native World of Warcraft girl. So I don't even know if we're talking the same language. But I know that in Star Wars The Old Republic, there's group areas, and then there's areas with a green shield that indicate now you're in your own private zone. And, mm-hmm. and the way I understand it is that that's an instance. But a flashpoint is something special. It's a scripted event that you have multiple that requires multiple people to play through, and you take turns with dialogue options, and it's these kind of epic mini-tales. And the first one I went through was amazing. I mean, it totally redefined what was possible in an MMO for me.
Well, it seems like there's two different kinds of scripted experiences that you can do with a group. You can just do regular questing. Mm-hmm. You can do these like in-game, in-the-world kind of moments where you pick up a quest because you enter a certain zone, and they're kind of heroic areas, and so you can group with a bunch of different people. Or you go into these flashpoints, and correct me if I'm wrong, chat room, but like Black Talon, where you go in, and it's like an instance,
right.
and you're in there with those specific people, and then you go into these discussion modes with the characters, the NPCs within that instance, and then you kind of roll to see who gets to choose how the situation happens.
Right. It's
are you going to be a badass, or are you going to be like a good person? Are you going to kill the general at the end, or are you going to let him live? It's stuff like that.
Well, and so that's one thing we should bring up as well. I was shocked. One of my biggest gripes with City of Heroes and with World of Warcraft, from what little I played, was that it required so much that you run around with other people in order to get any of the good stuff that I always felt like I was falling behind, and it was so difficult to play single player alone. The storytelling in Knights of the Old Republic is so good that I've played almost the entire game exclusively single player. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun to have this Mass Effect-type experience, but know that my buddies are around. Now, having said that, I wish that I had done more stuff with my buddies, but we're never at the same level at the same time.
Oh.
And I feel like it's annoying to me. I wish that back in City of Heroes, you could do something called sidekicking, where somebody would instantly mesh your level. They'd be two levels behind you so that you could go on adventures together. I want so bad to have something like that in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Well, I mean, you have companions.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
so
those
that's
are, those
kind
are...
of like the same, a similar kind of thing.
What?
Because you're able to do more stuff because you have this sidekick with you at all times. It can either be support for you, be a healer, be an extra pair of DPS.
Right.
So it's nice to have that extra element, I think, when you're doing solo quests.
But again, I feel like all that enhances the single player experience. I'm waiting to experience more of the awesome multiplayer opportunities in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
we can do that.
Big question then. First of all, if people want to join us, they should head over to which server?
We are in, what's it called?
Oh, you don't know? Keller's Void.
Keller's Void.
Keller's Void. We got a number of guilds you guys could join. You could head up, you could join Not Safe for Wookiees, the Diamond Club headed up by Adam 12, and of course,
AIE. Yacta-S, one of our five guilds on there, probably.
Yeah, who are you on the game?
I am Obexa.
Obexa,
the bounty hunter.
Bounty hunter.
Yes.
I am a stealth, I guess, sniper assassin named Flatus. She's silent but deadly.
Awesome.
Look, all right, big last question. First of all, I'm going to say two things. On balance, I think they've really nailed it. I'm not going to call this a WoW killer, but I will say that I think sometime in 2013, the big news story is going to be that they've tied World of Warcraft. I think they're going to expand a lot over the next 2 years.
Huh?
Well, because also World of Warcraft is struggling right now. It's sort of in the down phase.
Do you think that the Diablo 3, if you get the like lifetime
their
membership,
entrapment
basically,
scan.
Their entrapment scan, do you think that's going to help them keep the numbers up?
I think it'll push back the inevitable for another year, and that's about
we'll
it. But again, the question is buy or don't buy?
Oh, buy. Give it a try, at least.
Yeah, and I say go ahead and buy. Consider it. Play it for 30 days. It's worth the $60 or whatever it costs to play it for 30 days. And don't think of it as, oh, great, another subscription. Just plan to play it for a month, and at the end of that month, make the decision. I think you guys are going to like it quite a bit.
I have to say, it was the first time I considered putting my WoW account on hold.
Because, you know, they'll save your character.
But I don't believe that, so I'm too scared. So I won't do it. Because I read, like, they say they'll do that. But if poor Winema goes into the ether after 7 years, I think I would probably just shoot myself in the eyeball.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. Got a big interview coming up. And let's see. There's so much more to come here. Puny mortal Veronica yells questions to the mountain to God of War David Jaffe and rains down some awesome answers. Plus, you're about to find yourself in a casual encounter with one Leo Laporte. Don't be so uptight. Also, Grand Theft Auto 3 is on mobile devices, so now you can steal a car in the game while really stealing a car. Does it stand the test of time? We review it later on. But now, let's kick it over to Veronica and David Jaffe.
Hey, David. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So first of all, tell us what's new with the new Twisted Metal.
What's new with the new Twisted Metal? Well, I have to do something first really quickly because my daughters and I were just downstairs watching this in the kitchen. So I said, Dad's going to go upstairs and do this interview thing. So I said I'd give a shout out to Sarah and Kate. So they're downstairs eating dinner. So Sarah and Kate, hello.
What's up, Sarah and Kate?
There you go. Yes. So they didn't believe me. I said, no, I'm going to be on this show. And they said, no. And I know it's true. So what's up with the new Twisted Metal? Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, everything. You know, it's really the game. You know, we've been saying in the press a lot that it's the game that we've been wanting to make since the very first one back in 1993 or 95. But we had the idea back in 93. And I'm sorry. See, this is the issue. You're Skyping into my house on a Sunday night. I'm sorry. What, hon?
This is how live TV happens, folks.
This is better. This is better than, you know. Okay, so Twisted Metal. No, I mean, you know, we've been wanting to do kind of this vision that we had in our heads since 93 when we made the first one that came out in 95. And really just, you know, we were so inspired by action movies and, you know, as weird stuff as like Smoking the Bandit and Bullet and you know, just these great sort of action chase movies that we had all grown up with. And so to finally actually be able to make a game, you know, especially now that it's online right out of the box, that really kind of, you know, speaks to that original vision. You know, so that's kind of what's new in the sense that we've kind of actually hit the fantasy for the first time in terms of helicopters and semi-trucks with these huge trailers that like sort of Knight Rider and Spy Hunter style that you can drive in the back and man guns and stuff like that. It's very, hey, Kate, you're on the show now, honey. Okay, fair enough.
Small child photobomb.
Come on. Come say hi. Who cares?
Hey, girls.
Come on. This is Kate and Sarah. You guys got to go away, though, because we're doing this thing. I'm sorry. You got to buy. Your audience has to buy my game. I got to feed these kids. Come on. That's why they're there. Yes, I see the iPhone. Go.
I can't see you.
You are on a show. You're literally on a show.
You're on internet TV right now.
Hey, go.
Go away. People, hi.
I swear to God. I'm a good dad. I just think that I... Go away.
I farted.
Fair enough. Now you know it's my kid. Close the door, please. Close the door. Point being, on Twisted... what are you going to do? On Twisted Metal... yeah, man. I mean, it really is though, you know, the fantasy that we've had. So, I mean, yeah, there's tons of brand new modes, lots and lots of sort of, you know, host settings, lots and lots of, good Lord, there's like over 30 levels, 30 individual maps you can play, local split screen, 2 to 4 players, 16 players online, team modes, free for all modes, 17 vehicles, tons of weapons. I mean, it's kind of the ultimate fantasy. So what I've been saying to people, I kind of got in trouble when I said this week, which is basically, it's like, look, if you've liked Twisted Metal or you've ever been interested in games like Unreal Tournament or Quake or Mario Kart Battle Mode or Mortal Kombat, this is that kind of game, you know, that really speaks to those sensibilities. And so I got a little in trouble because people were like, well, you know, you got to pitch it to everyone. It's like, yeah, but it's not always for everyone. I couldn't be more proud of the team in Utah and in Santa Monica. And this is the best game I've ever worked on. But, you know, it's really, I think if you love Twisted Metal, you're going to absolutely think this is the best one. I mean, it's fantastic. Dude, first off, they can't hear you because I have, like, the headphones or whatnot.
Don't tell her. We can actually hear her.
You wanted an interview with Jaffe, right? So that's what you got. So you got to just roll with it, my friends.
This is the real Jaffe.
You know, so, but that's Twisted Metal. So we're real proud of it. I can't wait to get it out, you know, to the public in a couple of weeks. Good God, in less than a month now. So,
coming
yeah.
soon. Yeah. Oh, well, we have some questions from our audience as well over from the Reddit. Daniel RH9 wants to know, first of all, great to see an Alabama boy make it big in video games.
Cool, and then, very nice.
What's your best advice for someone looking to get into the video game business?
Well, goodness, it's tough. It's not tough to get in. I mean, it's a tough question because there's so many different jobs and there's so many different kinds of games now. One of the great things about games right now is, you know, I heard you guys talking earlier about sort of the
front.
Dude, oh my God, these guys are on a schedule. Oh my God, this is like Veronica Belmont. Do you know who that is? She will crush your dreams. She will crush your, you want to be a dancer, right?
Yeah.
She will crush your dancing dreams.
Breaker of children, Veronica Belmont.
You do not want to get on her bad side. That's not true. She's really nice. But the host guy has this hair that'll stab you in the heart. It's sharp. So
no.
He does. Look at that. Look at that hair. You know what I'm saying? It's like little spires of volcanoes coming out of those things, you know? But let me answer these questions and we'll go watch Phineas and Ferb. Go. Yes, go. Okay. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many different, you look at, you know, a lot of indie games and there's the big games. There's a lot of stuff in between now. And so it's a tough question in the sense that there's lots of different roles on teams. It's a big team sport. I mean, obviously, there are always, depending on the game, you know, the best case scenario is you've got a team where everybody is contributing to the vision and adding and making it better. But you've always got sort of at least a handful of people on the team that really kind of drive it, no matter the size. And obviously, the more people, if they're in on that vision, the better. So I would say to the guy who wrote in, I think the first thing is to figure out what you want to do, what role you want in games, because there's a lot of different things you could do. And then, you know, look, there's so many options, even if you're not doing it immediately professionally, in terms of the mod community, things like Game Salad. I mean, there's so many ways to get your games out there and learn the craft and then just sort of bang on doors and make phone calls. I've had people reach out to me on the internet all the time. And over the years, it's like, oh, I'm struggling. And then before you know it, I'll get an email saying, hey, I finally landed a job at a really big game company. So it's absolutely possible. The industry is always looking for talent and good ideas. And, I would say work really hard and don't give up. And there's be tenacious and be resourceful, because there's a lot of resources on the internet that will open the doors for you.
Excellent. And then TN Mark wants to know, what made you decide to turn back to AAA titles after Calling All Cars?
I think honestly, I mean, we actually started the new how are you? Are things going well? Yeah.
I'm fine.
That's fantastic. I don't really think you think about it that way, right? I think, you know, you can kind of look at it in retrospect and say, oh, this was more of a big budget, you know, retail game. This was a small game. But you really just kind of follow your passion. And we've worked with Sony, you know, both as employees and then as sort of contract workers, as we are now at Eat, Sleep, Play. And we've worked with that crew in Santa Monica for so long and so many years that, you know, they've really been great about letting us kind of follow the things that excited us. And so we never really, I don't think, perceived it. I mean, we did initially start Eat, Sleep, Play going, hey, let's make, a studio that's built around small games. Oh, okay, fair enough. That's good stuff. I don't care. What do you think's happening? You think you're scaring? You're Tintin. Oh, okay. Would you guys like a movie review from an 8-year-old? I swear to God, I wanted to walk out of Tintin, and they did too. I don't know. I love Spielberg. Well, that was a horrible movie, right?
How was Tintin?
How was Tintin, she's asking.
Oh, just so you know, the iPod
I'm Justin Bieber blankie.
Okay.
I'm Justin Bieber
blankie. Okay, go, guys. But what can I tell you, my friends? So your question was really great, but I forgot. Oh, yeah. So Calling All Cars. We started Eat, Sleep, Play and said, you know, let's make some, let's get into the small downloadable space. And then we started Twisted as a smaller game, and Sony really liked it, and we really liked it and saw potential for a bigger game. And so you don't really think about it that way so much. You're just kind of, you're real fortunate to work with individuals and a publisher that, you know, are willing to sort of let you follow your, I don't know, not to sound too corny, but your muse wherever it leads. And so on Calling All Cars, we were kind of feeling the smaller game space. And now on Twisted, we're feeling let's go back to the sort of the big leagues and see what we have to say and if we can connect with people. So who knows what's next, you know?
I think your next game should be Justin Bieber Blankie.
Justin Bieber Blankie? Justin Bieber Blankie. I like that. It would be, you and I can design it together. So okay. Justin Bieber Blankie, what would that be? I think you have to have like the connect to do like his little hair flip thing. That'll be part of it. And I only know about the hair flip because I watched. And then you can say stupid Justin Bieber, but you couldn't stop watching the damn movie last night, could you? I think they got a little crush on Justin Bieber, and they'll say, no, he's gross, he's disgusting. But they couldn't stop watching it, so.
Yeah, that's how we all are. We have a next question from LA Knight Z.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, what's
so
up?
So what is that about young, like, 10 to tween, I guess called tweens, right? Where they like guys that look like girls. Is that like because it's non-threatening?
I was just going to say non-threatening.
It's the non-threatening
thing? That's probably what it is.
Kate, why do you have a crush on Justin Bieber, Kate?
I do not.
You do. You want to kiss him.
Deny. That's all what they're about, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead, guys. Sorry. What's your next question?
The next question is from LA Knights. I've seen that in this latest release of Twisted Metal, they took a different approach to the selectable characters in the game. In the past, there were many contestants to choose from, but now we focus on three main contestants, not including Preacher. What led your team to choose this option for the game's development?
Well, there was a couple things. The first thing was is that in this day and age, you know, it was like, you know, I guarantee you, like, within the first hour when this game drops on Valentine's Day, every movie is going to be up on the internet. It's going to be up on YouTube. So, okay, so let's go back to this, right? So, you know, so first off, okay, all the movies are going to be up on the internet, you know, YouTube within the first couple hours the game ships. And for us, it was kind of like back in the day when we were doing, you know, multiple characters, it was kind of like, you know, you were looking at the back of a car for 98% of the experience. That, to us, really was the character. And so we felt, for a couple reasons, we really wanted the vehicles to have more of our time and resources, both budget and time and team size, to focus on making the vehicles, having gunners that lean out the windows. You blow up an enemy car and the gunner flies out and he's on fire and he's running around and the driver runs out on fire. And if you hit the driver before he dies from burning up, you know, you get extra health. And if you hit the gunner, you get a random mystery weapon. And we wanted to kind of build out the characters as the vehicles more that way. But it was also the story and sort of fleshing out the universe. We figured that, you know, I've always called them like twisted knock-knock jokes, which is in the past it was like you'd play a character in Twisted Metal and he'd have his wish. And then, you know, you'd see the ending and it was like, you got screwed by Calypso. And there's like so many times you can do that, especially since we've done it since 95 with the first game, that we felt that we would have rather spent our resources and our time to really flesh out a handful of characters versus, you know, 12 that ultimately, you know, it's not so motivating anymore to kind of play through the same game. So we wanted to make sure the campaign had different bosses for each character, a lot of different levels, different modes. So while a lot of people have so far until they played it, they kind of lament the loss of a lot of individual characters. We have more cars than ever before, more maps than ever before. We have race modes. We have all kinds of really unique deathmatch modes. So it's still vehicle combat. You know, it's not GTA where you get out and have these missions, but it's the most varied Twisted Metal campaign we've ever done. And it's a lot richer and it's a lot more satisfying. And so I get that a lot of people are like, oh, I miss No Face and I miss, you know, the guy who drove Yellow Jacket and things like that. But I think when they play the campaign, I think they'll feel that it's a campaign for 2012, and it's deeper, it's richer, it's more satisfying, it's more varied. And just to kind of go through the same game over and over and over with just a different character, and the only difference in gameplay really is a special weapon and the character you see on the select screen at the end menu. It ultimately, that may be what they think they want, but I really do feel end of the day it just wouldn't have been as satisfying.
Great. No, that makes total sense. Scott Carmichael asks, David, what are your feelings about the game industry relying so much on an annual installment of an IP for so much of its revenue? Didn't used to be that way when you started making games in the 90s.
Well, I mean, I haven't really suffered from that. I mean, as a player or as a as a game designer, as a game director, I mean, you know, the reality is it's I don't have a problem with it if it means that. I would only have a problem with it if it meant that we weren't also seeing fresh IP. But whether it's fresh IP that becomes really, really successful, I mean, you know, you guys were talking about BioShock. I mean, BioShock is not, you know, that old of a series. It's a brand new concept. You could look at Oblivion and look at Skyrim and say, oh, yeah, Skyrim's a different game than Elder Scrolls. At least to me, I don't really sit there and feel that it's a sequel. It's a new world. You know, to me, it's a new adventure to me. But I think with games, unlike movies, you know, so much of what happens in a game, you know, is it's iterative, it's software development, you know. And so as much as it is sort of an art and certainly a creative endeavor, it's also There's lots of tools and technology and mastery of those tools and technology by the team. And so I think, you know, the buying, let's put it this way, if the buying public didn't like it, the publishers wouldn't do it. I think I would be upset if it came at the expense of new ideas. But goodness, I mean, if you look at everything from what, like, you know, that game company's doing to what is happening on the big budget stuff, you know, or even on the iPad and the iPhone, you know, there's a lot. This is probably the richest, most a medium right now for creativity out there other than maybe cable television. And so I think it's great as long as it doesn't come at the expense of a lot of fresh ideas. And so far, I haven't seen that.
Great. And finally, what's next for you? Anything you can tell us about going forward?
You know, I don't know yet. You know, we're hoping Twisted does well enough that you know, hopefully we'll get to do some additional content. A lot of people, you know, bitch about DLC. I can assure you we've done no DLC because we look at Twisted. We've got such wonderful fans for the series, but we don't know how many of them there are. And we don't know how many new ones we're going to make on this new title. And so for us, we're kind of crossing our fingers and hoping we get to spend a little bit more time in the Twisted world. But other than that, no, I mean, we're eagerly anticipating, you know, getting it out there and seeing how it does and kicking around what might be next. But nothing certainly we could announce. And honestly, nothing has been decided as of yet.
Fantastic. So where can everyone follow your work online?
My work online, well, you know, they can follow me at davidjaffe.biz. They can follow my daughters who clearly want to, you know, be on, you know, they can go to, I also tweet, it's David Scott Jaffe. I guess it's at Twitter or whatever, but it's not David Jaffe because it was crazy. It's a long story, but it's David Scott Jaffe, which is my middle name. And so I'm always online. I love connecting with people who like what we do and appreciate what we do. And so if you're a fan of Twisted, if you want to know more about Twisted, go to twistedmetal.com or come just see me online. We'll have a fun chat about vehicle combat.
And what are your daughters' names again, one more time?
Kate and Sarah.
Kate and Sarah. You guys are awesome. They need their own YouTube show.
Thank you, guys. Oh, don't you say that.
We can make it happen. We have the technology.
You probably can. And now I'm because they're going to be asking all night long, why can't I have a YouTube show like Veronica? It's like, you know what?
I'll be the little ringleader. I'll pull the strings.
Right, there you go.
All right. Well, guys, Twisted Metal hits shelves next month, so start pre-ordering that now if you know what's good for you. Listen to this guy. He'll tell you. Thanks, David.
Well, thank you.
All right, look, we're going to debut a brand new segment that we are totally excited about.
Yes, we call it the Punch Kick, and it's where we take the biggest topics of the weekend.
Are you kidding me? What is this? Really?
What's going on right now?
What is that?
Shut up. My name is Max Torbat. I am programmed by the worst elements of the internet. I am very excited to be on your boring show.
Hello, Max. We are thrilled to have you here. However, we're in the middle of a segment right now, so we'd appreciate it if you would...
Your segment sucked. I know because my censors are made of YouTube comments.
But we didn't even explain the segment yet.
Shut up. Your trademark chop is everything I dreamed. Felicia Day. I will save your show by asking questions.
I'm not Felicia Day.
First question... What games are you most excited for in 2012?
Okay. That's a real question.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Well, you go first. What do you got?
Well, I'm really excited about Mass Effect 3.
Oh, my God, dude. Mass Effect 2 totally sucked away 2 weeks of my life. It was amazing.
I know, because I'm playing Star Wars, The Old Republic, right now. So I'm ready for, like, the next step in BioWare awesomeness. I'm ready for Mass Effect 3.
And I guess I've got sequel mania as well, because I loved the BioShock franchise. I loved the dark, dingy interiors. But what I'm really crazy about is BioShock Infinite. Not only is it beautiful blue skies, the vistas, but also a new whole different set of powers and an interesting political philosophy to explore as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really excited to get kind of out of that underground, dingy, underwater environment and into the bright, beautiful sunshine in BioShock Infinite.
Absolutely.
Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. Incorrect. The best game of 2012 will be Elder Scrolls 6 Skyrim Job. It's very easy to lick.
Okay.
That was offensive.
Get it? That is a joke. That is what makes for interesting segments.
Okay, number one, it was offensive. Number two, it wasn't funny.
Shut up. Your hair sucks. Is this a cry for help since Dignation was canceled? Alex Albrecht.
Okay, wow. I am not Alex Albrecht.
He kind of got
second question.
Will Diablo 3 be released this year?
All right, that's also a real question. I think, yeah, I'm saying it better be released this year. There's going to be lots of angry Blizzard fans out there.
Oh, I can't imagine any way, because it's already in beta. You played the beta, didn't you?
Yes, and it's awesome. And if they've got what they've got so far in the rest of the game, I think they're in pretty good shape. I'm expecting, they're saying Q1 is the rumor right now.
Now, when you played the beta, when you played the beta, how complete did it feel? Did it feel like there were massive errors, or did it feel like they had the first section done, but then later content was kind of iffy?
I had virtually no bugs, no issues playing the game itself. But it didn't go very far. So maybe they just spent a really long time on what they released for the beta.
All right, so first question. What's the over-under? If you're going to make a bet, what would you say Q1 release? You think that's for real?
Maybe not Q1. Definitely this year.
Okay, so definitely not pushed to 2013. That's our official answer. Boop.
Boop. Boop. Incorrect. It doesn't matter when it's released. It's going to suck harder than Duke Nukem Forever.
What?
I only do two things, under-deliver on massive hype and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
Okay, that's not even funny. No, stop it. Diablo 3 is going to be amazing.
Yeah, no, I'll back that up for sure.
I mean, I've already played the beta. It's good.
Oh, Felicia, girls shouldn't be allowed to play video games or drive a car or vote. Third question, the Battletoads were black.
What? Is that a question?
I don't think it is.
Correct. They were totally black.
Okay, you need to go. That was
yeah, no, that's you.
Offensive. No.
Okay, no, seriously, off the set, dude.
Guys, I'm really sorry about this. That was just...
Correct. Game On has been returned to minimum watchability quotient. See you next time, Alex and Felicia.
Good riddance. Get the hell out of here.
Stupid, boring.
Sorry about that.
Wow. I don't know about you, but I need to cleanse my palates after that. Tell you what, why don't we take a moment to thank the people who make Game On possible?
Yeah, I think so.
I want to give a huge thanks to the folks at the Ford Motor Company for sponsoring Game On. They are bringing you all-electric and hybrid electric technologies, including the 2012 Ford Focus Electric and the 2013 C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid. Both of them use regenerative braking systems that could capture back over 90% of the kinetic energy lost in a conventional engine to heat due to friction. You get a whole suite of driver information systems, including ways to manage the recharge process, determine the most eco-friendly driving route, monitor battery states of charge, and maximize energy efficiency. With a My Ford mobile smartphone app, you can access vehicle status such as state of charge and the current range. Additionally, the 2012 Ford Focus Electric is an all-electric vehicle with no gasoline engine whatsoever. Fully charges in 3 to 4 hours through a 240-volt connection. It's 100% electric and zero CO2 emissions. It's got lithium-ion batteries, and new battery technology enables a topping-off charge without reducing the lifespan of the battery. The 2012 Ford Focus Electric is available for reservations now, and the 2013 Ford C-Max Energy Plug-in Hybrid is coming in fall 2013.
All right, look, party people, and by party people, I mean my awesome hardcore gamer friends. The fact is, you can't be white-knuckled all the time. You got to relax the intensity. So let's take it easy. It's a casual encounter.
It's time for another casual encounter.
Hello. I knew you'd be back. Even someone as hardcore as you are needs to unwind a bit. So relax, baby. Let's get casual. LL Cool L has something he wants to show you. Daddy's parched! Thank you. So it was the 1981 Comdex. After a two-day bender, I'm at a diner 34 miles south of the Strip next to a 74-year-old programmer from Hewlett-Packard named Dan Leaf and a bleary-eyed John C. Dvorak. Danny's so hopped up on goofballs, he was convinced a family of gnomes had built a functioning city inside his corned beef hash. He smashes the plate on the floor and starts to pick up the food with his hands and drop it into his mouth. And then he looks at me and says, "Double L, in this world, you gotta know when to be patient, when to dodge your enemies, and when to smite the devil in front of you." Was Dano in need of a bib? Of course. Was that the best advice I ever got from a man eating off the floor? You bet your life. It reminds me of Infinity Blade 2 for iOS. The sequel to one of the games introduced with the iPhone 4. This sweet piece of silver debuted with the 4S. The hack and slash gem totally takes the RPG elements of the original to a new level with state-of-the-art graphics and an even better character design. Unlike the tiny track of the first game, IF2 gives you three times the space to roam around and real challenging twists and turns that keep you guessing. Also, the addition of new weapon types and the massive expansion of money lying around completely erases two annoying elements of its predecessor. Make no mistake, my friends, this is a console-quality game shrunk into the palm of your hand. Kind of like those itty-bitty gnomes constructing a mighty metropolis under Danny's spuds. Sure, at $5.99, it's pricey for an iOS game. But the top of the line costs, my friend. And if you're an iPhone 4S owner, I'm glad to report this little sweetie plays as smooth as a baby buffed in turtle wax. You know, Dan Leaf finished every last piece of that hash and found no city. Eventually, he left HP so he could look for the gnome town full-time. Did he still enjoy the meal? You better believe it. Did he ever find those tiny bastards? Well, that's a story for another Casual Encounter.
This has been a Casual Encounter.
Now, I never played Infinity Blade 2 because I played the first one, and while I enjoyed the hack and slash elements, it felt so one-dimensional to me, I gave up on it, and it never even occurred to me that the second one would be so much better. Talk about a sequel that's better than the original. Have you played it yet?
I'm still in the Leo zone right now.
You're lost. You're confused, and you're in your own special place.
He trapped me with his eyes.
It was the mustache that did it for me. I'm pretty sure Leo will deny that's him, by the way. That's an entirely different person.
Those were also not my fingernails, unfortunately. I cannot keep a manicure up to save my life.
Awesome, man. So what else we got?
All right, well, you know, there's a bond that you make with a game, an unbreakable bond. You're finished with the game, but what happens when a favorite game comes back into your life? Well, that's this week's Appdiction.
Well, based on recognizing this dump, I think I'm you.
What do you mean?
You're me back in college in 2001, and you were playing Grand Theft Auto 3, which is what I was playing on my iPhone when I time-phased back here. Yeah, that makes sense.
What?
Well, sometimes when you're playing a game that you were in the past, it opens up a nostalgia hole in the universe that takes you back to a moment when you were feeling the exact same way about that game.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would make up because I don't actually understand what just happened.
Shut up. Either way, I remember this. Yeah, you were playing GTA 3 for 13 hours straight, and you were gonna get up to take a shower, but then you decided to find all the secret packages on Staten Island instead. Which was awesome, by the way. Also, you smell.
Shut up. What are you playing that on?
Oh, this is an iPhone. It plays games just like your PS2 does, and it runs GTA 3 just as fast and just as smooth as it does on your little console there.
What?
Well, you see that iPod over there? That's going to turn into a thinner iPod. And then that's going to turn into a few different versions of an iPod. Then it's going to turn into a phone. And then the phone is going to turn into a thin iPod that you can't make calls on. And then that's going to blow up into like a tablet-y book-looking device called the iPad that you can play games on but you can't make calls on. Please remember all this because you're going to be a tech pundit one day.
What's a tech pundit?
Pretty sure it's someone who makes stuff up even when they're not entirely sure what they're talking about. But seriously, though, it's amazing how far we've come in 10 years. A game that was a bestseller and known for its expansive 3D maps and environments now runs like it was built for a platform that fits right in your pocket.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. So, if you're me 10 years from now, have we gotten, you know,
a house full of cats?
Oh, yeah. So is the anthrax thing, is that still a thing?
Holy crap, did I just open up a nostalgia hole by playing Grand Theft Auto 3 on my neural implants?
Told you that was real.
Never you mind that 2012 Veronica and 2001 Veronica. The president has been taken hostage, and the only way we can free him is by playing Grand Theft Auto 3 for 13 hours straight without showering.
Assemble!
We should point out that's true documentary footage. That actually happens.
That all really happened, yes. Did you like my Red Sox hat?
I liked everything about that. I liked the game as well. I was amazed at how much of the experience really does translate to an iOS game. I thought the controls were a little bit touchy. I liked the analog stick. When you're running, it's all analog. But when you're driving, it goes to just left, right buttons. And you have to do this kind of herky-jerky left, left, right, right mm-hmm. when you're driving. That drove me nuts.
But it is amazing how good it looks.
Oh, it looks phenomenal. It looks phenomenal. And it's like it did age very, very well. And if you like the first game, you want to experience it, I think this is a good way to do it. To be honest, like, I played the hell out of GTA 3. I played it so much that I went into my real. Yeah, exactly.
That was my life in college. I'm not even joking. It was scary.
Well, I played it just long enough to get into the nostalgia hole, but I haven't really gotten back to it. But I mean, it is fabulous. And if you've never played the game, it's totally worth it. One of the better experiences.
It's hard to get out of a nostalgia hole once you've gotten in one.
That's what I hear.
It's very tricky. Should we take some feedback from the audience?
We totally should. Hey, guys, we love to hear your feedback. You can send it to an email to game@twit.tv, or you can help curate the stories that we put right here on the show at gameon.reddit.com. And of course, we asked you earlier to send us tweets at twit.tv. Game on. And what have we heard so far, Veronica?
Well, we've got one from Noah who says Twisted Metal 2 was much better than 1.
Oh, that's blatant pandering to the guests, which we approve of, by the way.
And also Nick says Portal 2 was better than Portal 1.
What?
Which,
it was bigger.
It was bigger.
There was more.
I've had some issues. I actually wrote a blog post about why.
Oh, you started a fight is what you did.
I started an internet war with my friend Kyla about whether Portal 2 was better than Skyrim. I was on the Skyrim side. She was on Portal. And I said, yeah, I loved Portal 2 when it was called Portal.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, but they did a good job. They took what was a unique surprise and fleshed out to a full-fledged game. You know, that's part of what made Portal 1 such a surprising treat, is it was an interesting game mechanic, and one of the things people like is that the original game didn't overstay a welcome. But the second game, they obviously had to blow up, and they did the best they could with that weird format of giving you a bigger story while you're a single person going around through a derelict facility.
And then we have one from, let's see, from Lou G, who says, at Twit Game On, I have to disagree with Veronica. Castlevania sequels are not better than the original.
Ooh.
And the same with the original Warcraft. Is that a Belmont joke? Are you making a Castlevania Belmont joke? Is that supposed to, like, hurt me?
Oh, is that a real thing? Is that
the family, Richter Belmont?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You're off the team!
I'm sorry, I'm not hip to the Castlevania.
You're off the team.
But I can speak to the Warcraft series, and I can say absolutely the sequel, Warcraft 2, was better than Warcraft 1. First of all, Warcraft 1 was revolutionary because it was the first real-time strategy with multiplayer on it, but the second one was so much better. You could have up to 5 players. We had legendary battles. We used to play everything on slowest settings and have 8-hour massive tactical combat sessions. You're crazy. Whoever person said that was.
All right, and then Curtis said, you've missed Diablo 2, Grand Theft Auto 3, and Portal 2. Actually, we talked about all those. So.
Yeah. Well, but we didn't talk about them being better than the original. But we did. But again, I think those are all cases where the technology made it better. I think my favorite comment that I've seen so far was a reference to our interview where they said, game on with Dream Crusher and Stabby Hair. GKO. I think that's the new name of the show starting right now.
Actually, my favorite comment was from Cheeto. I farted.
Oh, God. Really? Really?
Cheeto farted.
I couldn't believe. Oh, my God.
Cheeto's in love with you.
I'm done with the feedback. But seriously, we do want to hear about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's going to be things that you guys liked and didn't like about this episode. We really, really encourage you to give us honest feedback. That's the great thing about internet television, is we're not tied to anything. We're able to move according to what you like and didn't like. Please reach out to us. Please hit us up on Twitter. And please tell everyone you know about Twit Game On.
Yes, we are very flexible. Not in the yoga sense, but very flexible with our content. But anyway, that's it. We are all out of time. I'd like to give a big thanks to David Jeffy for Skyping in with us.
And his daughters.
Adorable daughters. And a big thanks to all of you for watching. And we will see you next time.
Look at me! I'm Dr. Zoidberg, homeowner! I haven't eaten since Tuesday.
You don't want to end up old and ugly like Zoidberg.
Look at me. I'm Dr. Zoidberg, homeowner. My mother was a saint.
This is my nightmare, is an army of Zoidberg mud crabs. This is an actual mod that you could get for Skyrim,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's a real mod.
I used to be Dr. Zoidberg homeowner, but then I took a pincher to the knee.
Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two.
Happy Force Roda to all of you guys. Thank you so much for sticking around. We hope you guys enjoyed Game On. I need a drink.